Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, Luke's gospel told the story from Mary's point of view, told the story of how the angel came to her, announcing that she would bear a son. That gospel doesn't say anything about how Joseph reacted to the news. In fact, according to Luke, as soon as Mary finds out she is pregnant, she hightails it out of town. She hurries not to Joseph, but to her cousin Elizabeth, who is also pregnant. And I can imagine that they had a great time of heart-to-heart talks, sharing stories maybe about their pregnancies. But wouldn't it have been good if Mary could have talked with Joseph? Today, in Matthew's gospel, we hear the story from Joseph's point of view. And Matthew doesn't go into Mary's side of it at all. Isn't that often the way? We focus on one side of the story at the expense of the other. When one person is telling their story, it's hard to imagine that the other person might have an equally valid alternate perspective. According to Matthew, Mary and Joseph are at odds. They are in a pickle. Mary is pregnant, and Joseph knows the baby isn't his. What should he do? Well, he could take a hardline approach. He does have some rights according to religious law, and one option is that he could insist that Mary be stoned, that she could be killed for adultery. After all, it is his word against hers. It's a man's word against a woman's. And whoever heard of a baby conceived of by the Holy Spirit? But that's not Joseph's way. Joseph is a righteous man. He's a fair man. Maybe he's even a loving man. And he is unwilling to expose Mary to public disgrace or even death. And so Joseph kind of thinks things over by himself, and he decides to divorce Mary quietly. Joseph makes up his mind and he takes a stand. But he and Mary just don't seem to be able to talk things over together. They're in really an adversarial situation. Unfortunately, this relationship is clearly over. Isn't it true that too often men and women find themselves in adversarial situations, particularly now at a time of great tension between the sexes? Well, maybe it's not more tension than usual, but it does seem to be more out in the open than usual. We've had revelations of serial sexual abuse on the part of powerful men in Hollywood, in politics, even in the church. And this has shown men and women to be continuing at odds. Too often, the women were dependent on those men for a job, and they were so stunned by the unwelcome advances that they just didn't know how to say no and make it stick. Too often, a man's bad behavior is so much of a lifelong pattern, it's just so blatant, that the truth of the women's stories is evident to all. And yet sometimes things really aren't so clear. Sometimes the man denies the stories, asserts his innocence, and says the woman is lying, and he pits his credibility against hers. How do we know whom to trust when it comes down to he said versus she said? When they are pitted against each other, man versus woman, whom do you trust? Do you trust the accuser? Do you trust the victim? Do you trust Joseph or Mary? If you have to choose one side or another, do you feel that Mary is right and Joseph must be wrong, or vice versa? Too often there is a fundamental mistrust between men and women, and it's based on, well, who knows what it's based on? The differences in our hormones, the differences in traditional roles that we have played, the differences in expectations that society has for us, etc., etc. But this mistrust just doesn't seem to be diminishing. Women may be increasingly free to say no to harassment, but some women believe that men still only want one thing, and they want to blame all men. And that doesn't make men feel good. I know that there's some men in my extended family who respect women, but they feel put upon. They feel personally attacked by this kind of blame. And I know that there are some men who feel helpless to make things right, good men who have been tainted by the bad behavior of others. And I know that there are women who are not blaming all men, who say it's not about men, it's not about sex, it's about power and the misuse of power. And they want to give men a break. But still, like Joseph and Mary, men and women today are often at odds. And it's hard to know how to resolve our differences, how to resolve this tension. When a woman looks at Harvey Weinstein and thinks that testosterone is the problem, and when a man looks at the same situation and sees female gold diggers out for everything they can get, when we have such all or nothing perspectives that put down the other sex, how can we find a way forward? Is there any hope for women and men? Joseph is a righteous man. And I know that his behavior was far from Harvey Weinstein's. Joseph's decision to send Mary away is respectful, even if it's not very understanding. But Joseph seems to close in on himself. He seems to shut himself off from conversation in this story. And he plans to send Mary away, and it seems like he's kind of giving up on the possibility of life and relationship. But Joseph is also a dreamer. I mean, after all, he's named after Joseph in Egypt, who was a famous dreamer. And this Joseph, in our story, dreams of an angel of the Lord. And the angel says what all good angels say, "Do not be afraid." And the angel encourages Joseph not to divorce Mary, but to embrace her and her son as his own. The angel's visit turns things around for Joseph and Mary and restores the possibility of a relationship between them. But I want to make sure that we all know that the angel is not the savior in this story. The savior is the baby who will be born, Jesus, who will save his people from their sins. It is the news of Jesus that brings Joseph and Mary back together. Jesus is the one who makes things new and different because God saves through a baby. I recently saw an older man at McDonald's walking slowly with a cane, and he was carrying a cup of coffee very carefully across the restaurant to his wife, who was waiting there in a booth, and she had an oxygen tank, so clearly she was having some difficulties of her own. The man put the coffee cup down in front of her, and then he kind of took a breath and got a better grip on his cane, and then he walked back across the restaurant to get his own cup of coffee. It was a small thing, perhaps, but he was clearly in love with his wife, and he was taking care of her. He was doing what he could to help her and protect her, even as his own gait was becoming slow and unsteady. Men and women do not have to be at odds. We don't have to live lives or tell stories that put each other down. We don't have to tell stories that make men feel unneeded or that make women feel like second-class citizens. A savior is near. And the angel has announced to both Joseph and Mary that a child will be born to save people from their sins, and God alone can save us from ourselves and from each other. God alone can give us the love and the imagination to look at each other and to see each other as a gift. God alone can bring something new like a baby out of a relationship that is at odds. And so our Savior helps us to enter imaginatively into the experience of each other. Christ is the spark of new life that helps us live together, that helps us respect and support each other, that helps us take care of each other. And I'm not just talking about relationships between men and women, but other relationships, including women in partnership with women and men in partnership with men, and other non-sexual, non-partnered relationships. In all of our relationships, we need the imagination of a Savior to understand anybody's perspective outside our own. Joseph ends up with respect for what Mary is going through. And Mary ends up with a caring partner who will take care and protect their new family. They need each other. And God needs both of them to raise this baby Jesus. God needs both Mary and Joseph. God needs both women and men in this world of ours. One point of view is just not enough. We need to hear the story from women's perspective and from men's perspective. And so when we focus one week in the scripture on Mary and women, and it doesn't mean that we devalue men and their role in God's world. And then when we focus the next week on Joseph and on men, it doesn't have to exclude women. It doesn't have to put women in a subservient place. There is more than one thing in relationships, and there's more than one point of view in any story. And sometimes we need that imagination to enter into how the other person feels. And not just between men and women, but between a parent and someone who's not a parent, between black and white, between young and old, rich and poor, Christian and Muslim, Hindu and Jew. We need a Savior who will give us imaginative hearts, who will help us talk with each other when the going is tough, not run away or make decisions unilaterally. We need a Savior who will keep us in relationship with each other, young and old, black and white, men and women. We need the Savior born to Mary and reared by Joseph. Thanks God, thanks be to God for our Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.